All right, let's continue in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, 1 through 8, this section on introductory matters. We've looked at the first two verses, greeting. The next issue after the greeting is thanksgiving, verses 3 through the first part of 5. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Note these phrases. We give thanks, praying always, since we heard. That's a pretty good sequential response to spiritual things in the lives of people. We give thanks, praying always, since we heard. It's a good response for us when we hear of God at work in a church or a group. The Lord sent me, I mentioned a few times, around the world these last 5 years and across the country constantly. In that, I get to go to all kinds of different churches, and so many of them, a lot of them are, most of them are Calvary Chapels, and a great portion of those are very healthy churches. And just came back from Hungary recently. I can say this about that church, having been there. My wife and I, we give thanks, praying always since we heard. Once there, hearing about what God was doing in and through their lives. Just easy to give thanks for them, but not only should we thank God when He works with a group, a church, a family here and there, but be praying for them. Praying for them. Great response. We give thanks, praying always since we heard. We went a couple days back to Budapest, to Calvary there that I've been at a number of times. Terrific, healthy flock there in that big, major, metropolitan, cosmopolitan area of Hungary. It's easy in hearing about what God's doing there, just to give God thanks, but also to be stirred to pray for them. I believe God wants to do that with us all in the body of Christ. We have a group here, a ministry there. When we hear about what God's doing, give God thanks and pray for them. It's the way we minister one to another, and it kind of also links the body in unity. 1 Thessalonians, next book on in the Bible, after Colossians. Good correlation here. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. That was sort of characteristic of Paul and church groups he knew of. He'd characteristically, habitually, give thanks to God for them, but mentioning them in prayer. That's a great way to minister, thanksgiving and prayer. But then appears three great terms in the kingdom of heaven: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith is only as good as its object. Oh, people talk about you got to have faith, you got to believe, and so often they don't add faith in whom, believing in what. And people use the phrase out in our culture even, well, keep the faith, baby. Faith in whom? About what? Oh, just keep the faith. You know, you got to keep the faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe. Believe who? About what? Faith has no meaning. You know, you get these AA and 12-step movements, you know, where they talk about faith and you got to acknowledge a higher being. Higher than whom? How high? You know, a green frog, you know? I mean, what is your higher being? How high do you have to get? Well, the only object for faith we were ever intended to be focusing in on for time and eternity is the Lord God Almighty. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And tied in here with faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Him, trusting in Him, believing who He is and counting on what He's done. It's critical. Ephesians 1:15, good correlation on this same issue. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, to pick up two of these three right here, faith and love. Then Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How hard is it to please God? Well, there's only one way to please Him. It's trust in Him. What if you don't trust in Him? in general or in any given issue, then it will be displeasing to him in that arena. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's not that it's difficult. It's not that you have to learn it carefully. It's just impossible. Faith is so critical. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Remember Romans 1:17 by way of correlation. The just shall live by faith. First of three New Testament quotes of Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. Critical, critical verse. Repeated three times in the New Testament. In Romans, in Galatians, and in Hebrews. The just, the righteous ones, God's children, shall live by faith. Not only initially, but continually. Those who are being justified by God, by faith, come alive by faith. We're born again by faith in Jesus Christ. The just live by faith. God's righteous children live by faith. Initially, we found that life by faith. Initially, we live in and draw upon that life by faith. Continually, we must do it by faith. The just shall live by faith covers birth and growth and service and daily living. It's by faith. Every day, we must face it by faith in the Lord Jesus. Every issue, we must face by faith in the Lord Jesus. Every dilemma go through by faith in the Lord Jesus. Every need dealt with by faith in the Lord Jesus. But not only is he commending and giving thanks to God and encouraging them because of their faith in the Lord Jesus, but also your love for all the saints. Love for all the saints. By way of correlation, as you see in the outline there, 1 Corinthians 13:13 speaks of faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Three great realities in the kingdom of heaven. But the greatest of these is love. John 13:34 and 35, Jesus said he was going to give us a new commandment. Not just love, because love is a commandment in the Old Testament too, but to love one another as he has loved us. The new part of it is Christ-like love, sacrificial love, divine love. And by this, all men will know we're his disciples if we have this kind of love for one another. Love for all the saints. The epitome of God at work is what? His love known and seen. Because God is love. 1 Thessalonians. Again, the next book after Colossians. Chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Two great verses on the love of God. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, Paul says to them, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But notice this, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Even a loving Christian, a loving church, a loving campus has no place to kick back and rest in their love. In the first place, love is from God. We're told here, you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. 1 John 4:7 through 9 says, love is of God. God is love. If we want love, it has to come from God. And God teaches us how to share and walk in that love. But also, we can and should keep increasing in that love. And we want to be godly, loving Christians, but we can't say, yeah, I've got that one. I've got that one clicked off. I've checked that one off the list. I've got love mastered. Oh, really? Loving as fully and as much and richly as God does? Well, I'm not saying that. Well, then let's grow. Let's grow in love. But also hope, faith, hope, and love. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Hope, in New Testament terms, is not wishing. You know, the American English word hope. Well, I hope so. Well, this is going to happen that way. Well, I hope so. That's not the same word in the New Testament. The New Testament word for hope has to do with expectation, confidence, guaranteed certainties. That's New Testament hope. And we have such a hope laid up for us in heaven. An expectation, an absolute confidence, a guaranteed certainty that heaven is ours. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, by way of correlation, there's this phrase in the verse, Christ who is our hope. Just as Christ is our peace, Christ is our hope. Our hope, again, is not a procedure or a place or any principles in themselves. Christ is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:3 speaks of being born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Great correlation on this matter of hope. Born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope you and I have is a living hope. The expectations were given in Christ. They're living expectations. The confidences, the guaranteed certainties are living. They're alive. They're pulsating with life. What kind of life? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The kind of hope you and I have and can have and growing in Christ is a hope pulsating with resurrection life. Think of the implications of that. Though Christians are to put no confidence in the flesh, not have any hope in self, Philippians 3:3, we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. We're not to have self-hope and self-confidence, but we can have confidence and hope and expectation that goes out of sight. Hope or confidence or expectation that is based on resurrection life. When we were born again, the life that was given to us, the new birth, is resurrection life. Born again to a living hope, a hope with life in it. What kind of life? Resurrection life. Raised up with Christ in His life. Think how that can deal with the tough things of life. Disappointing situations, dead circumstances. They can be dealt with by this hope. We're born again to a living hope, a hope that brings life, expectation that throbs with the resurrection life of God. And circumstances can get pretty tough and pretty dead. Maybe it's hard to believe that at the start of a semester like this. How about midterms? How about finals? How about those papers? How about relations growing and getting tough on campus? I mean, things can get kind of tough wherever we are, including where we're here now. Well, there's a lot of encouragement, a lot of blessing. It can get tough. And one's own hope can kind of dwindle. But we're born again to a living hope, a resurrection hope, a hope that can be revived every day because it's based on the resurrection of Christ who lives in us. And then 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, back right next to Colossians. 1 Thessalonians 1, 3, watch, faith, hope, and love all come together in this one verse. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a clue here that the signs of a healthy church, these letters written to churches, Thessalonica, Colossae, from God's perspective, the signs of a healthy church aren't necessarily what man would look for. Yes, man, you know, is that church healthy? Well, let me see their bank account. Let me see their membership role. Let me see the education of the staff. Let me see how many influential people in church, in the city go there. You know, all these kind of things, man, would too often, I'll tell you if that church is really to be commended. Isn't it interesting when Paul writes to some of these New Testament churches? He commends them, he thanks God and encourages them in light of their faith, hope, and love. Here it is in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Why giving thanks to God? Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Faith, hope, and love. That's what we want to see God develop in our lives and in the churches that we minister in. We've looked at the greeting. We've looked at a thanksgiving. Now we come in these first 8 verses to some words about the gospel. Colossians 1, 5b through 6. Of which you heard before, that is this hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. This is all about the gospel, called here the word of the truth. It is so great in this lying, deceiving, image, fantasy world. It's so good to know there's a place to go to get the truth. And that's in the Word of God. The Word of the truth of the gospel. The Word of the truth, Ephesians 1:13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the Word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Look at this verse about the Word of truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That's such a fantastic statement about the gospel and the Word of God and it being the truth of God. This Word of truth, the gospel of God in the Scriptures, if we'll welcome it not as the Word of man, but what it really is, the Word of God, it will effectively work in us who believe. Often in school, we're encouraged to get into the Word of God and work on it. Dig in it. I believe that's valid. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the Word of God, not ashamed before God. But you know, there's something bigger than us working on the Word of God and digging into it. It's letting the Word of God work on us and dig into us. Yeah, there's blessing in working on the Word, and we're called to do it. Really, God is saying in that, carefully give attention to what I'm saying to you. And that's great. But the wonder of it is, that lets the Word of God be exposed to us. Then we have the choice, will I receive it? Will I just take it in and humbly live under it and let it work on me? It effectively works in you who believe. That's one of the great things about truth. It works on us and in us. It's not just we get it and have to make it work and learn it and tell it to others. No, it's bigger than that. If we'll take it in, it works on us effectively. And of course, the truth, Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The word of the truth of the gospel, the good news, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-3 make it clear the gospel is that which the Scriptures spoke of and then elaborate on, that is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, it's according to the Scriptures, written of in the Word, it involves the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Then Romans 1:1-3, an interesting connection of phrases there about the gospel. The gospel in particular, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The gospel in broader terms, but still the gospel. Romans 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he, God, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The Old Testament prophetic promises of the gospel. But still talking about the gospel of God, verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 1, the gospel of God. What does it concern? Verse 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel, the good news, are those things pertaining to, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is, what He's done, what He provides, what He promises, what He can do today. The gospel is that which concerns Jesus Christ. And then Romans 15:29. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. The gospel comes filled with good blessings. And when Paul came to minister to people, he wanted to come in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ. That's a great desire, isn't it, for our ministries too? That the Lord let us come and minister the good news, but come full of, filled with the blessings that accompany the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the gospel, the good news, and thank you that it's all about Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus, early in this book, we see your preeminence, how you stand above and stand out in everything. May you be our hope, the object of our faith, and the one who shares His love in and through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.